Hi everyone, my name is Linda and I want to welcome you to Advanced Studio Classroom for our internet article on going after cyber con jobs and fake news. And we had quite an interesting discussion yesterday about different medium that it's actually used on, like Google and Facebook. All across the internet there have been, I guess we have to say millions. Google last year took down 1.7 billion deceptive ads, so which is quite shocking. So it's very, very pervasive in the internet, and you need to be aware of it. And we hope that our article will help us to, you know, think more clearly and maybe know what to look for in this area. And to discuss this topic with me, I have.
Thank you, Linda. This is Josh. I'm very glad to be back here today.
And I'm Brandon. Good to be back.
Well, what stood out to you yesterday about the article, the first day of our article, Brandon?
Well, the sheer number of ads that have been taken down, which you have already referenced, that is incredible. And I'm glad that companies like Google and Facebook are waking up to this and doing something about it. We learned yesterday that they are kind of, they're lighting into the fake news crisis. They are taking action. And, you know, as we talked about, Google's taking down a bunch of these ads, and they are penalizing some people as well for impersonating news organizations. So I think those are good steps.
Right. I agree. What stood out to you, Josh?
So I think what stood out to me was a little bit of the discussion yesterday about how the different organizations are taking steps. So like Google, but also for me, Facebook, because as we know, people use Facebook, and Facebook has really become a big part of everybody's life and how they get information. And I don't think maybe until recently has Facebook taken a lot of responsibility for how that could adversely affect society. And it sounds like they really are starting to take steps in order to make sure that this problem isn't made worse through them.
Right. I agree. And I think for us as the consumer, we need to be careful where we're getting our news. It's easy to read something, you know, and just believe it. Believe everything that you read.
Sure.
And there's
been
so much fake news, I guess. I we'll just call it that. It is fake news. And we've read it on Google. We've read it on Facebook. And that's why Facebook is now taking responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, today we're taking, it's going in a slightly different direction. The article is going in a slightly different direction. It's not talking so much about Facebook or Google or what they're doing, but it's talking about how we are personally affected to make us more aware. I think we all really need to be aware and protect ourselves. I really kind of hate to say that, you know, but we do need to be internet savvy and be able to recognize when con jobs are, you know, when people are conning us and when con jobs are coming our way.
Mm-hmm.
So let's turn to page 43 in your advanced magazine, or if you have it on your digital device, and we're going to read down toward the bottom of the left-hand column.
Cyber fraud also loomed large in the findings of a Pew Research Center study. Pew found that 64% of adults surveyed have directly experienced some type of significant data theft or fraud. 49% of respondents believe their personal data have become less secure in recent years, and about 25% now lack confidence that the federal government and social media sites can keep their personal information safe and secure from unauthorized users. What fraud have people experienced? Driving citizen concerns, Pew found, was that 41% of polled Americans have encountered fraudulent charges on their credit cards, and 35% have been notified that sensitive information, like an account number, has been compromised. Sometimes the notifications are cons themselves. When resetting a password, don't do it through a notification link, but by visiting the website itself. 16% of Pew's 1,040 U.S. adult study participants suffered a takeover of their email accounts, and 13% said one of their social media accounts had been breached. 15% of those polled said they have received notices, real or bogus, that their Social Security numbers had been compromised. 14% said someone had attempted to take out a loan or a line of credit in their name. And 6% found that someone had impersonated them to file fraudulent tax returns and score tax refunds.
So we see that cyber fraud has loomed large in the findings of a Pew Research Center study. And yesterday we talked about Pew Research. That's kind of hard to say. Pew Research Center, and it is a very reliable source of information because they do a broad range of studies and they don't take money from any organization so that their views are not slanted in a certain direction. So it's kind of shocking what they found, isn't it, Josh?
It's very shocking. So this idea that there's so many people that have experienced in a personal way some sort of fraud is completely shocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The idea that you can just talk to anybody and be like, oh, yeah, that happened to me, really says a lot about where we've gone with the society in the last, well, I mean, I guess there's always been people out there that have been willing to con each other, but now with the internet age and being so easy to do it for so many people.
Right. You know, it makes me think that it's probably going to happen more and more because we withdraw from society. You know, we're not, before, I think maybe it might be easier to, you know, look at somebody and think, oh, he's trying to con me.
Sure.
But now, you don't see anybody.
Well, and also we hear stories of big stores like Target, their information, you know, people's information have been stolen through them, and you went, you used your credit card. I guess that's how it happened, and then your information was stolen. What are you going to do about that? You know, use cash all the time, which is, in the States anyway, that's not as common. People use credit cards or debit cards a lot, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went there right after that happened, you know, and I shop at Target, so I was like, okay, how am I going to pay? It made me really think twice about it. But, you know, after this has happened to a huge store like that, their security is like sky high.
Yeah, so it may be the safest place now.
They're so careful after that. I was like, okay, I can probably do this.
Yeah.
But we see that this has happened, as Josh said, to so many people, and it's 64% of adults say that they have directly experienced some type of significant, I think that's the word we're looking for here, significant data fraud or theft. That is a lot different than a little bit.
Right, and that's an important point. When you look at these polls, the wording is very, very important because, you know, it changes the whole outcome, really. If it said, you know, a little of data or whatever, that's totally different than significant. So look at the wording when you're looking at polling. It changes everything.
And I also want to say this is very difficult to recover from. If you've had data theft happen to you or you've been, you know, some kind of fraud, it is very, very difficult to recover because it's up to you to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to do sometimes. So we see that 49% of people that answered this survey believe that their personal data had become less secure in recent years. I kind of feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, do I really want this online?
Right. You're buying stuff online all the time on different sites, so it's easy to feel that way.
Yeah, your credit card information is out there. And a lot of people bank online.
Oh, yeah.
It's true. And everywhere you go, people ask you for personal information. So they ask you for your home or your cell or work even, phone number, address. And a lot of times people, when they're going to fill that out, go, no, wait a minute, I don't want you to have any of this, right? And it's because they don't feel like that information will be secure, and for good reason.
Right. If 64% of adults have experienced this, then it's, you know, I think it's very, very obvious that how many people feel that it's not secure.
Mm-hmm.
And 25% now, they don't feel like the federal government, and this is from the U.S. now, and social media sites, especially social media sites, will keep your information safe and secure, and they ask for more and more information every time.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of fraud, well, what kind of fraud have people experienced? You already said that you downloaded malware.
Yes.
Inadvertently onto your computer.
Right. Yesterday I talked about something popped up on my screen. It was Adobe download, and so I clicked on it, and it put malware on my computer, so that wasn't fun to deal with.
Right. We see that a lot of things have happened to people, fraudulent charges on credit cards. Have you ever had anything like this happen to you?
I, you know, just not that long ago, had a very strange, like somebody opened up a Netflix account on my credit card, which was very odd. And part of the reason why it was so odd was because I had lost that credit card, and I had asked for a replacement credit card. So, they gave me a new credit card with a new number.
Mm-hmm.
But since I had lost that credit card, I had just fallen out of the practice of using it. So I had not actually used that card for anything for a good couple of months, and then all of a sudden I noticed that I was getting a Netflix charge coming up. And the credit card company was great. They looked into it. They ended up refunding all the money that was charged. They closed down that card and gave me another one. But it was very strange because I really don't know how that information could have gotten into anybody else's hands.
That's happened to me before, too. And you're just like, how could that happen? You know,
Yeah. It
seems like it doesn't matter how careful you are.
Well, at least it was just Netflix, not like
Yeah.
a jewelry store, a diamond ring or something.
Well, then you know, the thing is then you're somewhat protected because then they call and ask information. They are
Yeah.
not going to let you charge,
right.
you know, thousands of dollars without
Yeah.
checking.
Right.
And sometimes what will happen is when you experience credit card fraud, people will put like a small or recurring charge
mm-hmm.
onto your card to see whether or not it gets caught.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't get caught, then that's when they'll really try and go for some big ticket items.
Yeah.
But
I think that's a good point that everybody should listen to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you see something insignificant on your credit card and you just think, oh, I just forgot I did that or mm-hmm. can't quite place it, you should check into it.
You should.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know also if you have, some people have debit and credit cards together in one card.
Mm-hmm.
I just had this happen to a friend. She only usually uses that particular card for a debit card. She doesn't charge on it. And when she called because she's going to be traveling and the bank said they stopped her credit card usage on that particular card because somebody had tried to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're traveling or, you know, not even traveling, it's good to call and check your company.
That's true.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
see what's happening with your credit card. So here, fraudulent, we've been talking about fraud, but if fraudulent just means dishonest and illegal,
mm-hmm.
okay? And we also see that that sensitive information like account numbers have been compromised. So as we've said, sometimes the notifications are cons themselves. I think everybody really needs to pay attention to this. I've gotten this before, you know, saying that this information, you need to reset your password.
Mm-hmm.
You can click here to do it. Don't ever, ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
What should you do instead?
You should actually go to the site itself, the website, and check it out. And if you want to make any changes, do it there. Don't do it through the link. Same thing is true if you receive a telephone call from certain organizations asking for money. Never do that. Check it out first.
Right. Be very careful about, yeah, opening your transfer and transferring
mm-hmm.
across accounts like
mm-hmm.
that.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then we see that 16% of the people that Pew surveyed, so that's 1,040 U.S. adult study participants. Okay, just so we know, this is considered a very, very broad number, right, in a
right.
research study.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you are surveying that many people, it means that the findings are very, very legitimate, and they suffered a takeover of their email accounts. And if you suffer a takeover, what happens, Josh?
Well, that's somebody's taken control of your email account, and it may be for many reasons. It's hard to say. It might be so that they can find all of your contacts and be able to then get access to their emails. You can sell that information. You can also write emails that are marketing emails or malware emails. So there's a lot of different ways they could do it, but it means that they've taken over their account so they can use it in order for their own purposes.
I know I've gotten... Well, it also goes on to say that 13% said that one of their social media accounts has been breached. I have seen this a lot
mm-hmm.
on my not to me, but my friends' Facebook accounts.
Sure. I have as well. So that number looks a little low to me, actually. I'm surprised it's not higher.
Yeah, I was too. And, you know, if you see something like, well, you might get, we've gotten emails like this several times. Hi, I'm stuck in blah, blah, blah. Please send cash or wire me money immediately. Mm-hmm. I have no way to get home. Mm-hmm. Don't ever do that.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because that definitely is, it's, that definitely is fraudulent. And it's amazing to me how many people do.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people, they don't check it, they do it. Mm-hmm. They just mail it.
I think yesterday we mentioned about the fraudulent calls people get for the IRS saying that if you don't make a payment right now, that they're going to call the cops. And I listened to a study where one of the wire transfer services was looking for this particular fraud and had instructed their employees to tell people not to do this, but they would still do it anyway, even though they have somebody at Western Union or whatever the wire transfer company was telling them that this is most likely not legitimate, and they would still do it anyway.
Mm.
And it just shows how much you get caught up in these types of frauds and really believe it, even though there's so many other things saying that, no, this is a warning. Red flags are going up everywhere.
Right. It shows us how gullible we are, which is a very good word, gullible.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you just fall for anything. But maybe they just have good hearts and they want to help people, too.
Well, paying the IRS, I don't think, is having a good heart. The IRS, by the way, for our audience, is the Internal Revenue Service in the United States, which is where you pay your taxes.
Right. And it's scary to get a call from
the them.
IRS. It is very scary.
I don't even know if they actually make calls. I think they usually send letters, so that's another thing.
Exactly.
Watch out for, yeah.
Especially if, you know, they say if people get a call saying you're going to be audited, they're going to come and check all of your books. If you don't pay this, then definitely don't pay it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, we see that also Social Security numbers. Now, for those of you who don't know Social Security numbers, we kind of have an equivalent of that in Taipei. It's really your health care number, and that's your, well, I guess it would be your ID number.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. They kind of all seem to be linked. And your Social Security number is, in the States, is the number that you get when you're born. It is your, really your ID.
It's a very important number that you don't want to just give out to anyone. So to the fact that people steal that and try to, you know, fake your identity is a serious issue.
If you are asked to put that number, I mean, I've been asked to put that number down on some forms, and often it says optional. Right. And then you should never put it down.
Right.
Because they can steal all of your information, everything, if people have that number. And we see that that's happened. It says that they have received notices, real or bogus. And this is a good word. It just means fake. They're right. False. They're not real. Have you ever gotten on a notice like this?
Not with my Social Security number, no. Thank God, no.
No, I have not, fortunately. Mm-hmm.
Well, they say that 14% said someone had attempted to take out a loan or a line of credit in their name. It is amazing to me, you know, how this is just so across the board.
And some people are so bold to take out a loan. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And 6% found that somebody had impersonated them to file fraudulent tax returns and score tax refunds, which means they actually got the tax refund.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So if we take a look at the sentence, we're looking at all kinds of bogus notices that people have responded to and people who are impersonating them. We had this word yesterday, which means saying you're somebody that you're not, what's happened. And they've lost a lot. Mm-hmm. So you need to be very, very careful. Well, let's continue our reading here. We're in the second, or the left-hand column on page 43, and now we're going to read to the end of the article.
The need for action. Compounding the cyber insecurities and crimes, Pew found that many Americans don't follow best practices. 41% share passwords with friends and family members. 39% use the same or very similar passwords for multiple accounts. And 25% resort to simple, more easily guessed passwords. On the mobile device front, Pew found that about 10% of smartphone owners risk known security breaches by never updating the operating system or apps. 54% engage in sensitive activities such as online banking or e-commerce while connected through an unsecured public Wi-Fi network.
So we see here we have the need for action. What kind of action are we looking at here, Josh?
Well, this particular action is dealing with all of these cybercrimes. Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I like this sentence, compounding the cyber insecurities and crimes. What does that mean, this sentence? Anybody got any ideas?
Well, okay. What makes the situation worse, right? So what's not just putting together like the problems that we have with the cyber crimes, but there's something else that's making the situation worse. And what that is, or what's compounding the situation, is the fact that people aren't really so good at protecting themselves.
And that is what it means by saying they don't follow best practices.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that just is talking about the guidelines that a particular company may have. We've talked yesterday about Google and Facebook, and we look at kind of their best practices and what they're doing now. But also here we're talking about how Americans, they don't follow what is suggested, basically, that they should do.
Well, you just said that already. You just gave that example. It just, again, shows us how trusting we are or gullible we are. You know, mm-hmm. when Western Union is saying, don't pay this, mm-hmm. and people do it anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, that is not following best practice.
Right.
So we see here that 41% share passwords with friends and family members.
Well, I would share with family members.
I think it's interesting that the word friends comes before family members here. It depends on what the password is for.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, passwords, that's just a whole frustrating thing. There's so many different ways, and then you're not supposed to write them down in one place, but then I am guilty of that. So, I mean, how can I remember them all? It's kind of a hard thing to deal with.
And then I think this is kind of interesting. So 41% share these passwords, and you just have to be careful in what medium you share them with also. Mm-hmm. So, like, if we have to send a password to our kids for some reason, we never do it over, you know, in an email ever.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, we always call or give it orally. And then 39% use the same or very similar passwords for multiple accounts. Okay.
So I think this really happens to a lot of people because you have so many different things that need passwords and that, you know, in order to remember them all, either use the exact same one or like a very simple change, but not really that hard to guess what the change would be for somebody who gets your original password. So I think a lot of people fall into that problem as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just by watching crime shows, you see them like, what's their birthday? What's their anniversary? What's
yeah.
their, you know, so
right.
be careful mm-hmm. about when you're setting your passwords. And then, yeah, 25% resort to simple, more easily guessed passwords.
Yeah. So
we have to remember them, too.
Right, I know. Right?
Exactly. And so, and this is the problem, is that, like, a lot of the information that you think not everybody would know is information that's pretty easy to get access to, and then
right.
you can guess what people would consider to be the password.
I mean, because we've all been sitting there frustrated because we can't remember the password from some website we haven't used in months or something. So we try to create ones that we can remember.
Mm-hmm. So you hear us justifying not good practices here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then we go to the, you know, to our mobile device. And here we see that 10% of smartphone owners, they also are at risk for security breaches because we never update our operating system, our apps. So you need to be careful to do that.
Hmm, that's a good thing to
Brandon.
Know. Sometimes I don't want to update because, if you keep updating over time, your phone will slow down, I guess, right? But this is a good reason, I guess, to update.
It is a very good reason to update, for sure. And it's difficult because some phones are more inclined to slow down over mm-hmm. time than others, but
yeah.
at the same time, risking your personal information
yes.
to be compromised, it's pretty serious, so it's hard. Yeah.
Well, we live in such an instant society, we don't want anything to slow down.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's either that or lose all your information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we see, this is pretty high, 54% engage in sensitive activities, online banking, e-commerce, and you're connected through an unsecure public Wi-Fi network.
Mm.
Okay, everybody, this is the one I want to ask you about. You need to be careful.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I see people like on the MRT or in coffee shops here, like buying things online. If you're doing that in a free Wi-Fi, you have access to public Wi-Fi and you're accessing it that way, anybody can take your information. So you need to be very careful.
Yeah. That's very true.
It's very tempting to do because we're always on our phones and we want
right.
to buy something right,
right
at that moment, but we need to be careful.
Right.
Or to check our bank accounts to make sure we can buy something, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, this is a lot to think about, and I think we're just kind of touching the surface here. We've given a lot of statistics, and we see that it is very prevalent throughout society. So just be careful, everybody, and we hope that you will join us again here on Advanced Studio Classroom for another article. Bye for now.
Goodbye.